All right, so this morning we're starting a new series called Inside Out Living, and we're in Matthew chapter 5. We'll be going through what are normally or historically called the Beatitudes. And so if you want to open your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be referencing the first few verses in there and getting into that. So within that, to be inside out, I thought about putting my shirt on inside out, and then I thought how uncomfortable and awkward that would that feel to have a shirt inside out, because you can't, like, just take the shirt off while you're preaching and then put it on the right side. It would just really be an awkward thing. And so I just figured I'm just going to forego that for your benefit, not mine, and mine too. But to be inside out, it's a totally different approach. And when Jesus is talking in this text, he's given us a totally different approach. I will call it the inside out way of doing life. And so today we're going to look at a value shift. And really, as he starts in, it's a value shift. Here's my question as we begin. What makes you feel valuable? What makes you feel valuable? What makes you feel... went to Atlantic City yesterday. Like $10,000. I ordered this on Amazon. I didn't go to Atlantic City. So you're like, he really did? He did good. I'm going with him next time. No. What makes you feel like $1 million or $1,000 or $10,000? Think about that. When you get into a certain vehicle, do you feel more valuable than another vehicle? When you have your hair a certain way, where ladies more than men, it happens to men too. Some of us have this problem where you go in the morning and you do your hair, and at the end of doing your hair, you look at the mirror and you're like, it's exactly the way I wanted it to be. Which happens how many times out of 100? One, okay. Zero, okay. When you're having a bad hair day, what happens? See, what you're saying then is my... one out of 100 days is more valuable than the 99 because my hair is just right. Or is it the shoes that you're wearing where you say, man, these shoes, this is what I find value in. I love having this type of a shoe or this whatever kind of a shoe or this kind of clothing. What is it that makes you feel valuable? Is it having recognition from your boss? Recognition from your employees, recognition from your neighbors, recognition from your family, recognition from your friends. Is it acceptance? It's that you got invited to the party as well as the others that came. Is it that you feel not rejected, but you feel accepted by people? Is that what makes you feel valuable? Because we all have different things in our lives that make us feel valuable. Some things, like for me, driving a really nice truck makes me feel a little bit more valuable than driving, I don't know, a broken down car or whatever. It just makes me, when I get in, I'm like, oh, I just feel better. It's just my thing. It's who I am in a sense. And you're different. You're going to feel more valuable in certain things. You look at a truck and you're like, I wouldn't be caught dead in your truck. You know, we all have differences there. Here's how you really figure this out. What makes you unhappy? What makes you unhappy? What ruins your day? Does it ruin your day? Does it make you unhappy when you're treated with disrespect? Do you tend to respond a little bit more angrily when you're rejected? Do you get ticked off? Do you get hurt by? Do you get upset when something happens? Now, there's emotion part of it, but then let's take it to the next level outside of emotion. It's that you are willing to treat others poorly within that, or you're willing to express how awful your life is because of. What makes you unhappy? When were you last unhappy? Like half an hour ago, trying to get everybody in the car. And we're here late, and I hate being late, you know? And we have different things that we have that makes us unhappy. Well, here, the first recorded message of Jesus describes a happy person. In Matthew chapter 5, today we're going to see that happy people are humble people, or happy people are valuable people. We're going to see both of those as we walk through this. So in Matthew chapter 5, you're there with me? Verse 1. It says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So now he's up on this mountain, up on the mount, as it's typically called, the Sermon on the Mount, and he's up there now speaking, preaching this message, the first recorded message we have in Matthew. It says, and he opened his mouth and he taught them. Now this is Jesus saying. This is Jesus teaching us. So we want to jump in and dive into this, and we're going to go through one verse per week. This is amazing. I'm going to spend 45 minutes talking about one phrase. Is this going to be great? Yeah, I could do a whole series on each one, but I'm just going to do one message on each one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. So to be blessed, in the literal original language, Jesus didn't speak in English. He's speaking in Greek at that point in time. So he's speaking in the Greek language. That's what originally is written down. So he's speaking this out in this language that's written down. He's speaking, and literally the original language would say happy, blessed or happy. Blessed is or happy is. And there's a difference here. When we look at happy, there's two different parts of happiness. One is external, one is internal. One, the external is circumstantial, and the internal is something you have just going in on inside of you. So inside of me, to have a genuine feeling of happiness or genuine perspective or attitude of happiness. Some people don't experience this much. You're a melancholy person. You're just kind of you see things through a negative lens. The glass is always half full or half empty. It's half empty, and generally speaking, if you view it as half empty, you might as well not even have the glass. It's that bad, right? And some people are that way, and he's saying here, the internal perspective, the internal attitude of this person is happy, blessed, they're happy. It's not external. External is, I have this that's making me happy. It's kind of like as a child, and I hated this, and maybe you did too. I hated when this guy, Brian Osisek, it was in my church as a young child. I must have been like 7 or 8 or 9 years old. He loved to tickle kids. Man, when I saw him coming, I was running out the door because I hated being tickled. And all he would tickle you till you wet your pants. And that was the second traumatic part of that, right? And maybe you've experienced or seen people like that. And not me, my brother did that. But, you know, and he would like tickle. And here's the thing. Sometimes it's tickling things that makes you happy. It's external things that's pushing on the inside. It's not internal happiness. It's temporary. It seems gratifying at the moment. It's kind of, I'm just being tickled by. And so he's saying this internal happiness, blessed, happy is the person who has this going on. And certainly the question is, are you happy today? Not externally, but internally. And that's what he's diving in here discussing. Happy is. This is the weirdest statement. This is why it's inside out, and it's a whole value shift. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is, oh, how very happy is the poor. What is it to be poor? Literally, the word is to be destitute, is to be without, is to be without wealth, it's just destitute of influence, it's not to have the position, it's destitute of honor. It's like you're just poor, you've got nothing. To be poor in spirit, in Luke, when he records this, he doesn't have the tag on of it in the spirit, so there's a lot of dialogue about this, and I would still look at this and say this is an internal thing. But he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You're destitute of this wealth, influence, or position, or honor. To be poor in spirit, literally, the majority of people looking in this would say to be poor in spirit is to be humble. How many of you love to be humble? I mean, you're really proud of yourself for being humble. How many would say that? Right? And isn't that the thing? Like, I can't raise my hand if I say I love being humble. Like, it doesn't work in church for sure. He'd get me. Okay, so how do you be humble? So when you're going through a situation, you think, what would a humble person do when their children are fighting? What would a humble person do when you're cut off in traffic? What would a humble person do when you're struggling to pay your bills? What would a humble person do? And you walk all the way through, and then here's the reality. Not you're being humbled. It's not something that's happening to you. It's an internal effect of humility. So you think about it and say, okay, I'm thinking about humility, and what would it look like? Like if somebody else, I mean, I'll pick on Matt. It's okay if he's humble because I don't want to be humble. That's not the funnest thing to do. But he says, I'm going to be happy if I'm humble, so I guess I'll try to do it. So I'll just think, what would Matt do? Because he seems like a humble person. What would that humble person do? And then just do it. And guess what? You'll become humble. Isn't that great? Let's close in a word of prayer, and we're done. Now, seriously. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. Happy people are humble people. What does that look like? So I want to dive away from humble and describe it a little bit. I'm going to go to the next layer, if you will. I'm going to get into the roots of this. So on the surface level, to be poor in the spirit, here's how, when you first get a glance of this, and sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you read through and you're like, okay, what does this look like to be poor in the spirit? Okay, here's what it initially looks like if you're not thinking about anything else. You're just looking at this one phrase, and many people will interpret it in this kind of way, and I'll say this is just the surface level interpretation of poor in the spirit. It's that we cannot have anything that makes us, makes my spirit feel rich. I can't have anything. If it makes me feel rich, because the opposite of poor is rich, so if it makes me feel rich, if internally I feel like I've got it all together, then I can't have it. So no car of value anyway, no house of value, no clothing of value, no relationships of value. To be poor in the spirit is I'm a doormat then. Everyone can walk all over me. I get taken advantage of all the time, and I'm happy about it. They did it again. Oh, that's so great. I'm poor in the spirit. So we must always be poor looking. It's to kind of have an Eeyore attitude, right? You know, people like that have an Eeyore attitude. Well, I've got my house, but it's probably going to fall down. The wind's going to come. You know, and Winnie the Pooh's like, no, it's a great house. Look, we put the sticks up just right. I know, but it'll fall down tomorrow. You know, and some people will say, well, that's being poor in the spirit because you don't see anything as great. You see it as, it's miserable, so I'm happy. And so kind of the thought is, I will be happy when I am most miserable. I just haven't hit the point of most misery to get to the point of happiness. It's like a double negative. And honestly, I've heard people teach and preach this and read books that refer to it as such. I say, there's something doesn't seem right. And at first glance, it is. And isn't this how we parent young kids? Think about this. We teach this too. Dad, Mom, I want that lollipop. You can't have that lollipop. You need to be happy without lollipop. But that lollipop's going to make me happy. You know what? That's because you're selfish. You have pride issues. You need to humble yourself. Be poor in the spirit. A five-year-old, right? And we think that way, and we talk that way as well to our children and expect much of them but little of us. It's a surface view of poor in the spirit. I'll say that this is the kindergarten understanding, but I want to get to the university level of understanding this. I don't want to go to PhD level because I don't think I'm there, but I want to go to university level. Does that make sense? And I think you guys are smart, so you can handle it. Amen? Okay, the rest of you that didn't, you don't think you're smart. So that's because you're poor in the spirit. See, you're humble. Here's a deeper view of poor in the spirit. It's that I have no value in myself. I have no value in what I do or what I can gain. Zero value in me. Now, if you're a thinking person, you're already confused, aren't you? Like, wait a second. I have to have self what? Worth. So this is inside out. This is opposite of self-worth is what I'm talking about. I'm saying no worth. Now, there's a lot of tension here. I want to unpack this because this is so deep. University level, you ready? To have no value is to see myself appropriately, to see myself as who I really am. And who am I really? Let me illustrate, because it's so much easier to illustrate. I brought with me, in this nice bucket that's been used a few times, dirt. I paid good money for this dirt. How much does a bag of dirt go for? Like a buck or two, right? If I were to scoop up some gold like this, I would have a cage around me, because it wouldn't be a good day, right? To view myself as a poor in the spirit mentality, in a right way, in a humble way, saying I have no value, is to ascribe value to myself that looks like this. I am dirt. I'm dirt. I'm just dirt. That's all I am. I ascribe no value to myself outside of this. I am dirt. I was made from the dust, from ashes to ashes, right? Dust to dust. I was made from that. And listen, when we die, we don't turn into diamonds, do we? Anybody turn into diamonds? Gold? Anything valuable? No, we all go back to dust. So simply to view ourselves as dirt is something that's very easy to grab onto, very easy to understand, and it's very logical and rational to say, I'm simply just dirt. So to put it in another way, I would say, and we'll get to this at the end of the message, 1 Corinthians 4, I'm a clay pot. It's just made from dirt. Cheapest pot you can get when you go to Home Depot or Lowe's. You go and you pick this up or a flower store, and you're like, I just need a pot to put my flowers in. I got a clay pot. It's cost, like, I can get this at the dollar store, right? Not a big deal. It's just, you don't go around saying, look what I got today. I got me, what'd you get for Father's Day? A clay pot. I always wanted a clay pot. This is so exciting. I got a clay pot. You don't do that. You're like, yeah, it's clay pot. It's all. And that's the value that we ask. To be poor in the spirit is to say, I am simply dirt. So turn to the person next to you and say, I'm just dirt. Go ahead. I'm just dirt. Now, I know what happened with those that have marriage issues. You said, you're just dirt. We'll pray for you because you have a lot of pride saying things like that. See, when I say I'm just dirt, I refuse to inflate my valuation above what it actually is. That's poor in the spirit. I refuse to inflate. I refuse to call myself by anything else other than I'm just dirt. I'm not the guy with the truck. I'm not the guy with the big house. I'm not the guy with the nice shoes or the nice outfit. I'm not the guy with the nice watch or the nice phone. I'm not the guy with the great haircut or the not the great haircut. I'm not the guy with any of those things. What I am is I am just dirt. I am simply a clay pot. Now that we've all acknowledged that to each other, if we stop here, we're going to miss a big point. This is only the halfway point, or one-third point of the message. Because here's the thing. To say I'm just dirt is an easy discovery that anyone can make. It's very simple to say I'm just dirt. I can say that and say, yeah, I know. I just go to dust. I just go to ash. I get all that, and that's fine. And if we stop here, we'll just be depressed. Why? Because what's the point of anything? Listen, teens, you kind of get this, and young people, you get this. You've watched your parents and grandparents struggle and fight to build and build and build, and they work hours and crazy, and they do all of this to be able to get this house that's okay, and they get this car that's okay, and it's not that you're knocking anything they got, but they say, man, your life is filled with stress and struggle, and that's all you got to show for it. You're like, I can live simpler than that. I'll live in my parents' basement. I don't care. I don't need all of that. I'm going to live very simply. And you look at some of the struggle, and you're like, it didn't get you anywhere. And you get it to a degree that you get this, and you're like, yeah, I find no value in what you're offering up to everybody else. It's just not there. And there's a generational shift that's happening with how they view different things here. And maybe you felt that. Maybe you felt, man, why am I going to school? Why am I going to college? Why am I doing this job? Why am I doing all of this so that I can have a big house, a big car, and everything else to impress everybody else? But for me, at the end of it, you know, I go to work out, and I got a nice whatever, and all that. And at the end of it, I'm just unhappy. and you feel like dirt? And is that the point of the message? So that I feel like dirt? Well, in comes true value. Not the store, but true value. Where do you get true value from is the question. In a lot of different religious settings, the way that they view God is this person in the sky or this being or the spirit in the sky that looks down at you with a lightning bolt in his or her or its hand and is ready to throw the lightning bolt when you mess up because you are dirt. Emphatically, big bold letters, you are dirt and I see you as such. And if you could just work your way up to being the best dirt possible, then you might be accepted in my eyes. Here's what the God of the Bible teaches. This is worth gold right here. The God of the Bible says something totally inside out, something totally opposite of all of that. He says, I look at you. I formed you as dirt. You will return to dirt. Yes, that is true of you. And when you broke my law, broke the one rule, you broke our relationship. Prior to that, the reason I wanted to be with you is because I saw you as valuable and I want to be with you. And it was exciting to have this relationship, but then you broke the relationship. But I didn't look at you as dirt after all of that brokenness, after all the messed up things that you did. I didn't look at you as you're not valuable at all. What I did was I saw you as so incredibly valuable. Yes, you're still just dirt. But you're so incredibly valuable to me that I will stop at no expense to restore that relationship. Have you ever had somebody that was your best friend that just stabbed you in the back? Some of you, you've really experienced that. You're like, yeah, I feel that scar. And then to have them come later on and say they're sorry, doesn't that feel awesome? In a flip of all of that is God, who's been the one that didn't do anything wrong, and we're the ones that did everything wrong. And here God says, I know you did everything wrong, and I know you're simply dirt, but you are so valuable to me that I'm sending my one and only son. I'm not putting money on it. I'm not paying $10,000 for you. That's not enough. What I'm doing is I'm saying you're more valuable than that to me. I'm paying for you with my one and only son, and I'm going to send him to the earth. And he's going to pay for your sin, not in an easy way where he just kind of comes and he dies. No, I want it to be spectacularly obvious that everybody for thousands of years prior to would be looking for this one person, and they would know when it is. They would know where this person would be born. They would know that it'd be of this group of people. They would know his nationality. They would know all about this because I'm recording it from all these prophets. And while I'm not showing my face because I can't, because I'm God and you're flesh, I can't do that. I'm showing you what's going to happen, and here it's going to happen. And for thousands of years, people are going to say, I don't know if I believe that, but here's the reality. It's something that is absolutely 100% true that happened historically, and we fight over this a little bit, but it keeps coming back to this one thing, that Jesus Christ came, and he died, and he rose again, and you have not just one that kind of made this fib up, but you have hundreds of people literally that saw the resurrected Jesus Christ that came and said, listen, here I am. This is why I came, because you are so valuable to me, and I'm paying the price for all of your sins so you can be with me. And so the next set of followers, here's what they do. They don't just go out and say, oh, that's cool. They don't just write books about it. They wrote a letter here and there to different people, and we have those things, and that's what we talk out of. They gave their lives for it. Why give your lives for a lie? Especially when right after Jesus died, they all scrambled because they said, I just believed in a big old lie. But then when he rose again, they said, oh, now I get it. Jesus Christ says, God says, I place so high of a value on you that I will give my one and only son. I will give everything that I can for you. And all he says back is, don't prove that you're better dirt than everybody else. Don't try to clean up your dirt because you can't clean dirt. Okay, have you tried to do that? Like, let's make a mud pie. We've done that as kids. You don't eat the mud pie. I've given everything that all it takes is for you to simply say, Lord Jesus, I accept what you've done on my behalf. I am simply a clay pot. And here's what he does. He covers us in his righteousness. We're no longer simply just this clay pot out on its own. Now we're covered in his righteousness. And I thought about getting a really fancy kind of a plastic whatever and covering it, but I just didn't think it would do it justice. But you get what I'm saying, right? Where he covers us, and he says, no longer is it that you find value in yourself. No longer do you just look at yourself as dirt or a clay pot. Now, instead, you're looking at this totally different. My question is this morning, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior yet? It starts in a moment of time where you recognize that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and he rose again, and you look and you say, that was for me. That wasn't just a religious thing. That wasn't just an old fib or old story or myth. It wasn't that. It was that he did that for me. And so then I find value, not in myself in anything. I found value because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior in the righteousness that he clothes us with. So then I walk poor in the Spirit saying, yep, I'm just dirt. I'm just dirt. That's all I am. But I have value because of God. I have value because of God. So let's walk this through. I have 3 points to share with you. I am dirt. I'm just dirt. Keep that in your mind. So because I am just dirt, whatever I have then is from God. Whatever I have is from God. So everything that I see, everything in my life is simply an extension of God blessing me. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, when Paul is talking to the church in Philippi, he's writing to them and he says, for me to live is Christ. Nothing else. For me to live, it's everything is bottled up in this one thing. For me to live is all about, it's all encompassing, it's all Christ. Whatever I have, everything in my life is all about God. It's all about Christ. It's all about what he's done for me. So my value, yes, I'm just dirt. But everything I have is from God. So I'm able to, see, this changes our prayer life. This changes our perspective on everything. So when we go to God in prayer, we come to this place of worship here where we're coming together. Here's how we approach him. It's totally opposite. I'm looking and I'm saying, wow. God, you're so awesome. Thank you for what you've blessed me with. Thank you for that. This doesn't give me value, but this shows me how valuable I am to you. So, for example, we take a nice truck and we try to fill our clay pot with a nice truck, right? See if this doesn't fall over and break. So you try to fill your life with a nice truck, and that's kind of what makes you feel valuable. So instead of, hey, this makes me feel valuable, now you say, no, I'm just dirt. And guess what? This truck is just what? It's dirt. Somebody gets this, right? It's just simply dirt. It's going to fall apart. It's going to rust, and they do over time, and you have to restore them. It takes thousands and thousands of dollars to restore a vehicle back to its original thing, and you try to do that. But here's the reality. It's just dirt. It's not going to last forever. So you recognize this is dirt too, but it's not that you have a bad thing going because you have this. It's that you're viewing this and you're saying, wow, I understand that I'm just dirt. Because I'm dirt, I just understand this is from God. My stuff is a result of God's blessings. My abilities, nice. My abilities and my talents are simply a gift from God. What I'm able to do in work, what I'm able to do in my community, what I'm able to do in the garden, or what I'm able to do at my workplace, wherever it is, all of that, it comes from God. I value myself as I'm just dirt. But look what God is doing in me. Look at the work that he's done to be able to give me the opportunity. Listen, I can use my hands. Why? Can you control your hands? Only based on the amount of brain that you have that's working correctly. But you take someone who's a paraplegic and they can't control their hands anymore. You take someone who's lost the capacity to use whatever part of them and you're like, yeah, I can't use that. Everything that you have, you're simply your breath, everything comes from God. So we walk all the way back to that. And so the result of that is that when I'm viewing myself through this lens, when I see this, I'm poor in the Spirit, I'm just dirt, because of I'm just dirt, it's whatever I have, it's all from God. So it changes my prayer life, it changes my perspective, it changes everything. You say, well, yeah, but I earned money. Well, how do you earn money? It's not your money. It's that you've been able to, because of the gifts and the abilities and the just the breathing and the arms and the legs and everything, because of all of that, you're able to go to work. Talk to a person that has lost that. And so you see all of those things change. My relationships are simply a gift from God. They enrich me, and I get to enrich them. Here's my second point. Because I'm dirt, God gives and God can take it away. Because I'm dirt, God can give and God can take it away. And so here's the reality. I work because I understand this is from God, so I have these abilities. And so because I have this ability, and maybe your ability is that you love to study history, and so you go out and you say, I want to teach people history. Maybe your ability is I love to work on cars, and you say, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work on cars. And you do that, and you make a paycheck, and you're able to buy your own car or whatever. And you have these things going on. You say, whatever I have is from God. And you say, this is great. It's all God's. He's given me children. He's given me a house. He's given me a car. He's given me a paycheck. He's given me all these things. So it's all on him. It's not on me. So then if God says, hey, listen, through this circumstance, no fault of your own, not because God's sitting there with a lightning bolt, but because this is how life goes. Things go away. The car breaks down. You know, somebody runs into it and it burns up and you're just watching the thing go up in flames. The house goes, whatever it is, or there's a death in the family, you suffer any kind of loss. You go back and say, because I'm dirt, God gives and God can take away. Remember a few weeks ago, we're talking through this one guy, Job. And within Job's life, here's what happens. You remember, he gains all of this wealth. He's got all the cattle and everything back in that day. He was the richest guy in the East. And here he's got all these things. And his whole perspective on that was God gave it to him. And then when all those things disappeared, when all those things went away, his wife says, curse God and die. And he turns and says, are you kidding me? Why would I do that? God gives and God can what? Take away. I'm just dirt. So whatever I have is from God, and God can give and God can take it away. And he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's for God's glory. God knows what he's doing, so I'm just going to rest in him and let him do what he decides to do in my life. So because I'm dirt, God gives and God can take it away. My value is not in this. If I lose my car, if I lose my house, if I lose my health, if I lose my children, if I lose my relationships, if I lose this and I'm not invited to that party, if I lose all that, my value is not in that anyway. You see, when our value is tied up in these things and we're not given what we feel we're deserved to give or to get, when our value is tied up in it, it does a huge wrench in our life. This causes anxiety issues. This causes major depression issues. This causes major anger issues. This causes, it's the root to a lot of times to divorce and relationship breakage and all kinds of things like that. It's the roots of this. That we're diving down deep and we're saying, here's what happens. I value myself so much. I'm not dirt. Look at me. I've gotten somewhere. I'm dad in this house. You don't talk to me like that. You don't treat me like that. I deserve, I must have, or I'm mom, or whoever it is. Or I'm 18 now. Whatever it might be. You're not viewing yourself as dirt, and you're not saying, listen, God can give and God can take away. You're viewing yourself as I'm valuable because of who I am. You don't know who I am. Look at me. I'm the president, or I'm the mayor, or I'm the police officer, or I'm the, and you fill in the blank, or I'm your boss, or fill in, and that's my value. We put our value into that. And when it's disrespected, or when it's hurt, or criticized, or it's taken away, often that's when we see that our value is placed in the wrong thing. God can give. God can take it away. Because I'm dirt, I view myself as, hey, listen, I'm a clay pot. I'm dirt. If he wants to take that away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He has a plan for my life. And it's okay. My value, my perspective of me does not change because God loves me. God loves me. He loves me so much that instead of him just saying, well, let's see how you do, he says, no, I'm going to pay for all of your sins so that we can have a relationship. It's total mind change. It's a value shift. It changes everything. So third point, because we're all dirt, I don't give more value to different shaped dirt. right? Dirt's dirt. So if I take this scoop of dirt, comes out looking like this. Cool. Take this scoop of dirt. Oh, look, this one's a little bit more lumpy. It's just dirt. You're not like, whoa, look at that one. He's shoveled out some really good dirt. Here's what that looks like in the end. Look at this dirt. Go ahead. Go ahead. Ooh, that's a pretty piece of dirt you got there, Pastor. I know. I know. I got more. Look at this pretty piece of dirt. Oh, wow. That's awesome dirt. Look. Man. But I got one more. Look at this dirt. I know. I know. You're just blown away by all the dirt I have up here. Right? Look at this valuable dirt. Guess what? Every single one of these pots are all made from the same thing. Dirt. Here's my point. They're going to Harvard, and I'm going to Camden County College. I give them more value because they're going to that school, and I'm going to this one. You see that? I am ascribing value to them now based on how I perceive you, and you're just dirt too. I hate to break it to you. We're all on level playing fields. Or, well, they live in that house over there. Can you believe that? They talk to me. They're just dirt. So what? So their pot is nicer than yours. Their dirt is arranged and it's more colorful. Who cares? It's dirt. They have a nicer looking body. I like the way they do their hair. They have curly hair. They have straight hair. They have hair. I know, we're going there. I like their shoes, and they're more valuable because they wear the right shoes or the right outfit. They have the right car. They have the right truck. They've got a big bank account, much bigger than mine, bigger than the whole town, as a matter of fact. So I value them much higher than me, and my life is shaped around that. And here's what happens. Because of their coloration, because of their height, their whatever it might be, because of all of the things that I view in other people then, I'm looking and I'm saying, well, they must be more valuable because of these things. They're just dirt too. We're all just dirt. So why would we give more value to people that have different looking dirt? I'm just making it really simple. Because this is the biggest emotional tension that I see and deal with most frequently in my life and in people I work with, counsel, disciple. It's that we're looking and we're saying, man, Pastor, he's got it all together. Look at that. His family, they come in, they're all, and they, what? I'm just dirt. Or we look and we're like, man, I'll tell you what, when their kids come into church, they're always dressed just right, their hair's going just right, and everything looks right. They must have it perfect at home. You have no idea that dirt family was just at home crying, screaming, and you're not going to wear that hat. Yeah, you got to wear this, and all this, and you get, now we're at church, you behave. And you walk in, and your life is like, oh, I just barely made it, and I feel like dirt when I get in, but I look like $1 million maybe? Just dirt. We ascribe so much value to other people because of our perception of what they have and what we don't. It's wrong. We're all just dirt. You have whatever car you want, whatever truck you want, whatever house you want, so long as it's what God wants for you. So long as you're not saying, no, I must have in order to make me feel more valuable. That's not poor in the spirit at all. What that is I'm rich in the spirit. I've got to prove that I'm better than. And I'm going to show you that I'm better than because what I have and what I drive and how I look and all of these things. It's not poor. It's rich in the spirit now is where we're driving. And then we look at other people and say, well, they must have it together. They're rich in the spirit. And I can tell, no. We're all dirt. We're all dirt. So, true happiness flows out of this value shift. True happiness flows out of this value shift. It's I'm shifting away from making myself more valuable through what I have or who's happy with me, and instead I'm worshiping God. It changes everything. It's that instead of me focusing in on what I have and how God's made me or what I've earned or whatever it might be, I'm no longer looking at the dirt that I have. Now I'm looking at the God who made me and the God who loves me, the God who's pouring out grace for me, the God who's so merciful toward me, and the God who just continues to be faithful in my life. And I'm saying, man, praise God. And when I get in my truck or get in my car or we go into my house, instead of me looking and I'm saying, man, look at me, I'm so valuable, and I think everybody else is looking at me as valuable, I'm saying, Lord, I just thank you that you've provided for me today. And when I sit down at the dinner table and I have either ramen noodles or I have steak and potatoes, whatever it might be, I'm looking and I'm saying, God, praise you. Thank you because of what you've given to me. This is just a huge blessing. This is way beyond what dirt deserves, because I'm just dirt. And so God, thank you for this rich blessing. Thank you for what you've done doing. It's just a huge value shift. And so it drives into us this perspective and this desire to simply worship God. I worship God because of what he's done. So then the question is, how do you handle our valuable dirt? How do you handle the trucks? How do you handle the money? How do you handle, let's see, the house? This is a nativity scene, but I'm going to make it a house. That's all I could find. I wasn't going to buy something. It was a waste. Anyway, how do we handle all of this? How do we handle the stuff that we have? It's a distinction. It's something to write down. You can grab onto this and maybe think about this throughout the day. The distinction is, instead of it's I'm valuable because of this, when I get into my truck or when I pull out my wallet or look at my bank account statements or when I look at my house, instead of me looking and saying I'm valuable because of these things and I place a huge deal of value in this, or it's, and I could have put in pictures of people up as well, couldn't I? That would be another one. It's the relationships I have, the amount of Facebook friends I have, or the amount of people Instagram or whatever it might be, liking my stories. And you look at all that and say, I'm valuable because of this. Instead of any circumstantial thing, what that is, very simply, is it's us tickling ourselves. You catch that? Look at me. I'm so happy. You know, because I've tickled myself with a truck. I've tickled myself with money. I've tickled myself with a house. It's temporary. It goes away. It's a waste of time. So instead of that, it's I am valuable, and I enjoy this because of him. So it's totally opposite. So the I must have this in order to feel valuable path looks like this. So my car, I'm driving to work, and while I'm going to work, my car breaks down. How does that feel when your car breaks down? Yeah, the day's shot, right? Oh, here we go. And so you're just driving. All of a sudden, the car breaks down. There's oil all over the place because you blew a rod through the side of the crankshaft. I don't know. And so here, things are just not going so well. It's a bad day. You feel like your day's ruined. It was a bad hair day anyway. And air conditioner wasn't working. It put the window down, and your hair's a mess. And so there you are on the side of the road. And here's what happens. Because you value this, and this, because of your value, if your value is in these things, here's the things that you're going to be saying. It says, I'm late to work. And that's a problem because I value my reputation. And this will tarnish my reputation by being late to work. And people will talk bad about me now, or my boss is going to write me up, or I'm going to have this negative thing that's going on that's against my reputation. I've worked so hard at building my reputation, and now that it's tarnished, now that it's gone, and this is what I value, my day's shot. Our reputation is no different than our things. You can build it up, but God's the one that's in charge of your reputation. You see that? He's in charge of your reputation. Can I give you a personal anecdote within that? Pastors, the person that has pastor in front of their name, are one of the most highly criticized people in our culture. I talk to people at least once or twice a week that talks down about pastors. And they always add on to the end of it. But I'm sure that's not you. Right? They're the ones. They're the reputation. They have this persona or this reputation that all they're about is I got to get people's money from them, and I got to build this big crowd, and they'll say whatever they need to say to get people there, and they all care, and all this other stuff. And so my reputation is not even something I can control. Other people have affected my reputation. Guess what? You struggle there too, because other people have affected your reputation in different ways. Well, I live in that part of town. Well, I have this as my brother. and all these things that affect your reputation and the things that happen to you. So you go to work, you're running late because your car breaks down, your reputation is in question, you're getting frustrated, you're embarrassed because you're sitting next to a car that's got smoke coming out the top and oil coming out the bottom, and you're not even sure what to do, and the tire is falling off or whatever, and you're embarrassed about that. Here's the thing. I value what people think of me that don't even know me. Right? And then I'm frustrated because I'm broke on top of it. I'm driving this clunker because I can't afford a nicer one. And now while I'm driving this clunker, it's broken down. And how am I going to afford this? And now you're frustrated and tensed up. And oh man, I feel no value. I'm totally broke. I got this broken down car. I'm going to lose my job. I've got a bad reputation now all because of this. And sometimes you can go through that in a matter of seconds, can't you? You been there? A lot of us have. Here's the opposite. I am valuable, and I enjoy this. I am valuable as dirt. I'm simply dirt, but I am valuable because of what God's done in me. And so this is the car that God's provided. And so simply, while I'm driving to work and it broke down and they got smoke coming out the top and oil coming out the bottom and the tire falling off, and while I'm right there, and man, oh man, I got to call my boss and say, hey, I'm going to be late. Lord, my reputation is not in my hands, it's in yours. I'm just dirt. So God, I trust you. I'm stressed right now and I feel the emotion of the moment. Emotions are normal, emotions are real, emotions are what you should be experiencing. So God, I feel the emotional stress right now and this pressure that they're not gonna like me, I might get fired, and Lord, help me deal with that. That's putting my trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So you're simply saying, Lord, I trust you in this, that you're going to take care of my reputation in the way that you want, because you're going to do an amazing work in me to grow me closer to you. Secondly, God, I know I'm broke. And I know I can't afford this. There's oil on the ground. I can't even afford to fill it back up with oil. And a tow truck's going to be coming. I don't know how this is going to work out. And I got to replace the car. And Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. But Lord, this was your car anyway, so you got a problem here. Right? It is a total value shift. It's not my car anymore. It's not my problem anymore in the same kind of way. It's, Lord, you're going to give me the strength, you're going to give me the direction, and you're going to give me the provision. I will be 100% responsible while at the same time being 100% reliant. My worship is high even when things break down and go wrong. And by the way, you got two kids in the back of that are screaming at each other, throwing things at each other, right? Come on, let's make it real. And so you have all these things going on, and you're saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to intentionally not just sit back because this doesn't happen naturally. I went to church this week so I can be fed God's word, and I'm learning how to be poor in the spirit, and I'm learning how to trust God through it. And so, Lord, I'm just dirt, and I get that that's how my life is. And so my car is just dirt, and I'm sitting here, and I'm saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm having a hard time trusting you right now because this isn't the way I planned it, but I trust you. So then it gives me pleasure to put my trust in him. Because if he could make this piece of dirt function the way it does, then he's got a plan that far exceeds my understanding. So I can trust him. And if he loves me so much, this is Romans chapter 8, if he loves me so much that he sent his one only son, he didn't spare his only child, and he's got a plan for me. And out of that is born Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for his good. He's going to do something in us that's going to grow us closer to him and guide us there. So we trust in him. God, you're not done yet. So it gives me pleasure to view myself as I'm just dirt. I'm just dirt. But God looks at me and says, you're so valuable that I gave my son for you. I want a relationship with you. And things are going to happen, positive, negative, and they're going to happen. That's part of life. But we're going to build this life together. And so, happy people, to go back to our first statement, you ready? Happy people are what? Humble people. Happy people are humble people. They're poor in the spirit, they're humble because they realize that they're just dirt, and they discovered the real value is through God's view of them. My value is not in me because I'm dirt. My value is in him because he's God. He's not dirt. He's eternal. He lasts forever, and he is more precious. He's made us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I'll end out with that. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are simply jars of clay. And all that we have, it's just filling up our jars of clay. And that's where we are. But we continue to turn around and say, this is a powerful God that's working in me to be able to do, to be able to function, and to be able to praise him. Even my lips, my breath, just speaking out praise to him is simply God doing a work in me. Do you know what the Sabbath day is? So God creates the world in 6 days. Believe that or not, that's up to you. I'm just reading from what the Bible has for us. So Genesis chapter 1 and 2 describes God making the whole place and all the animals and everything in 6 days. And the seventh day is God saying, I'm going to rest. It's the weirdest thing in all of Scripture, in my opinion. And when you look into this, here's what he's doing on the Sabbath day. And you're like, how are you going to tie this in, Pastor? This is really awesome. In all of Scripture, he says, you need to honor the Sabbath day. Take a day off. Why? Because that one day is for you to sit back and say, wow, I'm just dirt. I'm just dirt. And my stuff is just dirt. But man, look what God did with giving me the abilities, the talents, the thought processes to be able to do that. That was all from God. I didn't even have that thought, but I just said, okay, Lord, what do you want? And I just did. And there I have all of this. Okay, for example, I get up this morning and I go out my back door. And part of my worship was spontaneous in that I looked at my grass and I've got green grass. Like I got a carpet of, like, that's God, not me. So the entire day, one day out of the week, the entire day is all about, let's just look back. Whew. I went to work and I did this. I affected them this way. I was able to do this and make that. And I was able to, and it was, I'm just a clay pot. I'm just dirt. But God used me in this way to do that. Changes everything. And when the week doesn't go so well, you say, well, I'm just dirt anyway. God's got a plan and he might redeem all of that because he often does. That next week, he's got a plan of the messed up stuff we did last week to redeem it next week. So, when we live this out, here's what happens. Our anxiety, our depression is now dealt with. Not all, but a lot. Instead of seeing ourselves as not valuable, we see ourselves and others appropriately. We're thankful for then God's faithfulness toward us. We don't look at ourselves as value or not. We just look at ourselves as, I see myself appropriately. I'm just dirt. But God is valuable. And God sees me in this way. God loves me in this way. And so praise God for all he's done. There's one old hymn I love. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a great song. Great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness to me, morning after morning after morning, he is so faithful to me to do amazing works. It's just God's faithfulness. So we get to praise him in it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. The happy people are humble people. And Lord, we get to see who you are and how you work in our lives in such amazing ways through it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to shift our values from self-worth to having, Lord, God-worth. Lord, I pray that you'd help us understand your grace and your mercy that much more. And thank you so much for the text that you give to us. And thank you for the work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.